3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Exfabula Radio Time during Lake Effect Weekend on 89.7 WUWM. Good afternoon. I'm Bruce Winter. Leah Delaney, the co-founder of Exfabula, is in the other chair, as she always is.
Here I am.
How you doing?
I'm great.
Well, it's the second week of the new year, and I suppose resolutions are already getting harder and harder to keep.
Yes. Well, you know, you're looking at the wrong goat here. I didn't make any resolutions this year.
I resolved not to make any, yes.
You too, as well?
Yeah.
But, you know, resolutions can be a really fantastic time for people to, you know, give that opportunity to themselves to make some huge changes in their life. And in lieu of our spectacular, which is coming up on January 18th, our storytelling spectacular, where the theme is break free, we actually brought some stories today revolving around that theme. And, you know, breaking free can mean so many different things. You know, it could mean you're breaking bad habits, or you're breaking up with bad relationships or bad people in general. So we want to give Milwaukee a couple of those examples today on the air.
I like the idea of at any point in your life, you can make the change.
Yes.
And that's what these two stories are about.
Yes. So let's jump right into it. Here's a story from Charles Hampton, who originally told the story at the Marquette University Mission Week with Project Return, Incarceration. So let's listen to Charles Hampton.
Okay, my story is like in about three parts, I would say. It's about a fake world, it's about addiction, but most of all, it's about being restored. Now, a lot of you know about, actor by the name of Jim Carrey, and maybe only a few of you in here remember a movie he played in called The Truman Show. And if you really knew what that Truman Show was about, it was about a fake world that he lived in. Okay? My story begins back quite a few years ago. My father ran a nightclub for 40 years right here on King Drive and Walnut. During that period of time, I was a bartender. We had a lot of gambling things going on, and that's why I developed the skill of playing pool right there. And eventually, I ended up becoming a pool hustler at that time. But it came a point in time where businesses got kind of bad. So my father walked into the bar and told me, he said, well, son, I have some sad news for you. I can't pay you to tend bar anymore. So, okay. He said, I also can't pay you to run crap games anymore either. And he didn't have any money to give me to put in my pocket to catch the bus or do anything. All I could do was just get up and leave and just go on about my merry way. So what I did, I ended up using that skill, that pool skill. And I started moving around, hustling on the pool table for a while. Eventually, I ended up running to another nightclub. It was called The Body Shop. It was a place run by Mr. Joe Body's Body Shop. And one thing that was unique about the club was it was called like it really a C&C club. It was numbered Cadillacs and Continentals at that time. That's what we were all about then. But at that time as well, there was a lot of other things going on up in that club that I had never experienced. And one of them was drugs at the time. So eventually, I ended up learning how to use drugs. Eventually, I ended up learning how to also sell drugs. And then after time went by, I ended up being addicted to drugs. So my life started taking a turn for me. So later on, what I did, you know how you try to change cities, apartments, and different things? I changed cities and I moved to California. 6 months after I got to California, I ended up in prison. So I ended up doing about 14 months in prison. I got out, and I didn't go back immediately back using drugs, but eventually I had my struggles, and I ended up going back. So over the years, I ended up struggling. I lived in rooftops. I lived in stairwells. I lived in cars. And at times, I really didn't even bathe for days. That's how bad my life had gotten from the addiction of drugs. But then also, too, later on, around 88, I even had an experience of being shot with a 12-gauge shotgun. My whole calf got shot out. So I had reconstructive surgery. And one thing I want everybody to understand, the addiction of drugs are really, really deep. Because of the fact, even though after I got shot with that 12-gauge shotgun, I had a fiberglass cast put on me from my ankle all the way up to my hip. And my leg, my my foot was bent like this. It still didn't stop me from using drugs. It still didn't stop me from selling drugs. That's how strong the addiction can be. So what I ended up doing again, when the cast got off and kind of got my head right, I ended up moving back here to Milwaukee. Less than 6 months again back in Milwaukee, I end back up in prison again. So this time I started searching myself and asking myself, well, Charles, what you going to do? So I ended up going into treatment and stuff, trying to get a sense on life, on reality, trying to get something going back. Now, as time went by, I started staying in treatment. I started working a good program. Things started going pretty good for me. But eventually back in 2000, I ended up getting another drug case. I ended up going back to prison. But before I ended up going to prison, though, one of the promises that I had made to my own daughter, I told my daughter I would never go back and use drugs. I would never go back and sell drugs. Unfortunately, I broke that promise. By breaking that promise, I ended up losing my connection with the most important person in my life. So I started soul searching myself, and I knew something was missing. I was a man that had never in his entire life ever read the Bible. Once I started reading that Bible, then what you say, it said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay, be born again. That's what happened to me. Now, they always say through prayers and supplication and your faith, just stay strong into it, things will develop because God will answer your prayers, not at your time, but at the event time. He's always on time. I kept on praying, kept on praying. I still had connected with my daughter till one day the sergeant control booth called me up to the window. He said, Charles, do you know a young lady by the name of Louise Crutchfield? I said, yeah, that's my daughter. So I called her and she said, Daddy, my spirit told me I needed to look for you. She said, where are you at? I said, I'm right here on 30th and Center. She said, you're just a half a mile from me. And do you know, we've been connected ever since then. God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me. I have 14 grandchildren today. But the day, I just want to say that God is so good, and I just thank all of y'all. Thank you.
And that was Charles Hampton's very moving story.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. In the midst of this January bleak midwinter, there is something to brighten everyone's January. The Spectacular is coming up next week.
Yes. The fully vetted storytelling spectacular that Exfabula holds every year is going to be on January 18th at the Turner Hall Ballroom. You can definitely get your tickets on exfabula.org. They are on sale and seating is limited, so you might want to jump on that right away.
All right, story number two is another story about making a change in one's life.
Yes. Here's Matt Sabeljack, who originally told this story at our Second Thought Story Slam way back in 2009. So here's Matt Sabeljack.
So we were probably about a half a block from the hotel on our way home when she said, don't you think it's kind of weird that we only slept together once during this whole trip? And the question was more of an accusation, and the accuser was my girlfriend at the time. And the trip was really just 2 days in Chicago. So, and really it was kind of a kick square in the nuts for me because I really wasn't making much money and I wanted to do something special for Christmas. So I booked two nights at a hotel, a French-sounding hotel in Chicago. And nothing French-sounding is ever cheap. Gave her money to go shopping on the Magnificent Mile. And if you're a guy with a indecisive girlfriend, that's kind of more like the Bataan Death March. So as you can imagine, when I was on my way home, I wasn't anticipating criticism, certainly not as the first order of business, but that's exactly what I got. And I knew at that moment that I was living and dating a girl that was going to make me miserable. So I kept my composure for 12 hours, and when we got home, I sat her down on the couch in our apartment, and I said I was going to be moving out. And she didn't take it very well, but I stuck to my guns and moved back into my parents' basement, the highlight of all 24-year-olds' lives, over the course of the next week. And but this really isn't a, I've realized, isn't a story about breaking up with a girl so much as it is breaking up with myself. And when I say that, I mean a self that I had become over the 2 years in between graduating from college in the winter of 2005 and that trip to Chicago in the winter of 2007. And, you know, this breakup, thankfully, would be a lot more permanent than the one with the girl, which, you know, got dragged out as they do. And I suppose I should give some context at this point. And that's, I was born really with like a pencil in my hand. I was drawing, and art was a huge part of my identity from daycare on. I had a daycare teacher say that she was going to marry me when I grew up and became a famous artist. You know, tried to start a little enterprise for myself in grade school, selling customized art projects to my fellow students before that was shut down. And basically, art was a huge part of my identity. It was always understood that I was going to draw for a living when I grew up. And I remember the journal always had a student art contest for high school students. And I always looked at those entries, and when I looked at them, I imagined what my winning entry would be like when I was in high school. Well, unfortunately, when high school came, I got consumed by other things, sports, having a social life, classes and things like that, and I really gave up on drawing. By the end of high school, there was this talent, this incredible talent that I was born with, and my grandfather was a professional artist, and it was just like, I was going to grow up to draw. It was a huge part of what I was doing, and it was sad, because I wasn't going to do that anymore. And so thankfully, I discovered writing. And my dad, who's in the audience, is a professional author and was a huge inspiration of mine. And I decided that I was going to be a writer then. And I chose the University of Iowa because they have a world-famous writer's workshop. And I went to that school, and to boot, they had a great film production program, too. So I always loved movies. And it was like writing and film coming together. It was wonderful. Unfortunately, when college came around, I sort of descended once again into like douchebaggery, and you know, got consumed by the partying and the drinking and stuff like that, and never really gave myself over to the whole making films and writing sort of thing. So by the end of school, I really didn't have a body of work that could get me a job as a filmmaker, as a writer. So it's like high school, talent number one, dead. College, get out of college, take a job in advertising sales. Talents number two and three, writing and filmmaking, dead on arrival. So I was batting pretty well in my life so far. And after college, I took a job in ad sales and promised myself that I was going to be doing work on the side. I was going to be filmmaking and writing and stuff like that. Well, then I got a girlfriend, the aforementioned femme fatale. And I got to wrap this up pretty soon. But needless to say, that question... don't you think it's kind of weird that we only had sex a couple times while we were on this little trip? Really encouraged me to ask myself a question, which was, don't you think it's kind of weird that you're not doing anything you said you were going to do or that you wanted to do with your life? So I started, when I was at home and in my parents' basement and it was depressing and all this shit, I started writing again. And I came up with a project, and I found a publisher, and he loved it, and combined art and filmmaking and writing and, like, everything I'd always done. And now I'm standing up here 2 years later from that Chicago trip, and I'm still in sales, but I really am a salesperson that moonlights as an artist and a writer and a filmmaker, and I guess now as a storyteller.
And that was Matt Sabeljack's story, all about breaking free, breaking up with yourself, as it were.
Basically, yeah, breaking up with yourself. Why does Neil Sedaka come to mind right now? Breaking up is hard to do.
So we have so many more fantastic stories that are all set up for you at that January Spectacular, which is going to be held at Turner Hall Ballroom January 18th, where the theme is Break Free. And we also have another little special thing coming up. If you want to break through and create some new opportunities for yourself, we have a public storytelling workshop coming up on February 10th. So you can get that information and so much more on exfabula.org.
Yeah, and if you need a good excuse to get out on a Thursday night, next Thursday the 18th would be the day to do it. Go to the Spectacular, because those are great shows.
Yeah, we'll see you there, Milwaukee.
Exactly. And if you want to hear today's stories again, or you want to share them with others, they are at wuwm.com. Until next week, Exfabula Radio, Leah Delaney. See you then.
See you then.